The question is, how long, Lord? Some of you are here with a burden today. You've had good times in your life, but right now you're really burdened down and you're wondering, how long is this going to last? And it's a fair question to ask. Some burdens are short. Some things we go through in life and it's real short and it's over. Other things, we're going to bear it all the rest of the days of our life. When you're grieving for a lost loved one, folks, that's never going to go away. It'll get better where you can have some happy days, but it's not going away. Whether that's a mother, a father, grandpa, grandma, brother, sister, or your own children, that never goes away. You realize it's part of God's plan, but I don't know about you, sometimes I don't like God's plan. It's not going the way I want it to go, and it doesn't look like it's going to turn right away. And so when those times hit, we want to know Psalm 13. So if you'll stand with me, we're going to read Psalm 13. We're going to talk about it today. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I'll sing to the Lord's praise, for he's been good to me. Father, in those hard times, help us to remember that you have been good to us, and you will be good to us again. Father, bless us today. Help us not to lose hope. And Lord, we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. After young David, a shepherd boy, we don't know exactly how old he was, probably 17, 18, maybe 15 or 16, we don't know. But after David had killed Goliath, the mighty man, 9 foot 6 inches tall, had a spear like a weaver's beam. Most of us would have trouble just picking it up, let alone throwing it at anybody. After David killed him with just a slingshot and a stone, David was a hero. Sometimes being a hero only lasts a while, so be careful when the days are bright and everything's going your way. Realize that's not the whole story of your life. Sometimes life has a way of changing rapidly. It tells us the story here in 1 Samuel 18, verse 6. It says, when the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing and joyful songs and with timbrels and lyres. As they danced, they sang, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. They've credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me only with thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. Now, Saul had already been told by Samuel the prophet, because King Saul did not honor God and do things the way God told him to, God had already told Saul, your kingdom's going to be given to another. Now, he didn't know it was David. He just knew the Lord had said, your kingdom is going to be very temporary. Somebody else is going to take over. And from that day, Saul began to watch everybody that he thought might be in a position to take his kingdom. David, as a young shepherd boy, the Bible tells us all the men of Israel, Saul included, were shaking and quaking because every day, for many days, the Philistine had come out and challenged the armies of Israel. Send me a man, any man you want. If he kills me, we'll be your servant. If I kill him, you're going to be our servant. And not one man in Israel would face that challenge. I wouldn't want to fight a man 9'6" of muscle, would you? I looked at Hulk Hogan when I was a young person and he was wrestling. 26-inch arms. That was as big as my waist back then. Not now. I'm a little bigger than him now. Not in the arms, in the waist. But at any event, I want to tell you, most men would shake and quake having to face a man like that. David, as a young shepherd boy, was a different kind of a man. He had faced a lion that wanted to take his sheep. He chased the lion down, grabbed the sheep out of its mouth, and the lion began to attack David. And what was David's response? He gave him a hit, and the lion fell dead. And he did the same thing to a bear. David knew what God could do. David couldn't do that. God did that. I don't know if you've ever seen a man strong enough to kill a lion. I have not. But God gave David that strength. And David felt Goliath would be exactly the same. He took 5 stones and a shepherd's sling. And many people wonder, why did he take 5 stones? Goliath had 4 brothers. And they were all giants. And as you read the history, as you go down through the history of the people that followed David, all 4 of those men were killed. A couple by David's sons, and I think one of his relatives also killed one of those giants. But David was ready just in case the other 4 came into the situation. David killed Goliath, and everybody was happy. Saul was even happy until the women started to sing. He said, wait a minute. They're saying, I've killed thousands. David's killed 10,000. And he started to watch them closely. Sometimes the praise that we get is a test. How are you going to handle the praise that you get? Because from time to time, your dad, your mother, your uncle, your aunt, somebody's going to say, wow, that was a great job you did. If you can respond in humility and say, thank you very much. We praise the Lord for that. It's not me, it's him living in me and through me. All's well. But if you take it to heart, man, yeah, I am the big stud here. I'm the greatest football player that ever lived in St. Charles. You know, you can say that, but let me ask you, how many football players from St. Charles ever went professional? I can give you the number in a round circle. 0. Why? I don't know why. But very few kids that are heroes in high school are heroes all through their life. Okay? You got to be careful with this because you're going to be tested by the praise you receive. David really didn't let it go to his head. David hadn't been told yet that he was going to be the next king. That comes a little bit later. But David is going to be the king. And so we go through the story here and we begin to follow it along. 3 times David's popularity tried to lead to Saul killing him. 3 times Saul threw a spear to nail David to the wall. Folks, your popularity might be wonderful in your mind. It may be wonderful to some others, but somebody's going to get jealous of you. Somebody's going to want to nail you to the wall. And so we need to be careful how we handle popularity and fame, because it can go to your head and it can lead to all kinds of trouble. Now, as I mentioned, some of our trouble, we're going to have it the rest of our lives. You get cancer, you may even be declared, as a couple people have been in our midst, you're cancer-free. What does that mean? That means cancer-free for right now. What usually happens? A few years go by, and guess what? You're right back where you started. Folks, that's life. Some of the things that we're tested with come round and round. We get a victory, we're doing pretty good, and that same problem comes back and hits us again. We struggle with it, we fight with it, and again we get control of it, and then we go back again. Trouble is common to mankind. One of Job's friends said, man is acquainted with trouble as the sparks fly upward. Anybody ever see a spark fly down? They always rise. Now, eventually, they turn the bright glow goes out and they get dull, and all at once they're, but they always go up. Same is true in our lives. The Lord uses our trouble to strengthen us. I know we don't like that. We would like Him to strengthen us just by a nice exercise, you know, and keep in shape, but that's not life. We grow through trouble. In fact, the Bible says Jesus learned obedience by what? By the things that He suffered. Suffering is common to mankind. When you go through your times of trial, realize you're certainly not alone. You may feel all alone, but you're not. People all across this world, including some of the finest Christians I know, have their times of trouble. It's common. And so we need to learn how to grow through it. We don't like it. I don't think anybody here likes trouble. I don't mind it when maybe the washing machine breaks down. I can fix that eventually. But when the washing machine breaks down and the shingles got holes and the basement's leaking and you just, it almost overpowers us. In the midst of that, God has a lesson for us to learn. For 9 years, Saul tried to kill David. It wasn't a short test. He's 17, 18, 19. We're not sure just when this started. But when you're 17 and for 9 years you've got that kind of trouble, how old are you by the time it resolves itself? You're 26. Your young adulthood is almost gone already. And you've had trouble, 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 trouble. For 9 years, David's hiding in the wilderness from King Saul, who wants him dead. And the whole army of Israel is out to kill David. And that's why he wrote the 23rd Psalm, is, Lord, how long is this going to go? I'm okay for a month. I'm okay for 6 months. I can trust the Lord. But when it doesn't turn around, and you don't get a job, and you don't get a job. I remember a fellow that I used to go to church with in St. Charles. Wes Scholes was his name. And Wes Scholes lost a job, and he couldn't find a job. It was a long, long time. And after he finally got a job and got going again, Wes Scholes told me, he said, I really felt dejected by God when He wouldn't give me a job. He was a young man with a young family. He wanted to work. He wanted to supply. But he couldn't get a job. After he got a job, Wes said, I'm so busy now, I don't have as much time to seek the Lord. I was closer to the Lord when I was going through the trial than I am now. Folks, you have to understand that. Sometimes that trial is going to teach you things you can't learn any other way. The trials of life are important for us. King Saul wanted to kill David in 1 Samuel 26, verse 20. It says, Now do not let my blood fall to the ground far from the presence of the Lord. The king of Israel has come out to look for a flea as one hunts for a partridge in the mountains. A partridge. When somebody's hunting a partridge in the mountains, what defense does a partridge have? You go out with your bow and arrow. Today we'd go out with a shotgun, but you go out with your bow and arrow. What can a partridge do when somebody so much stronger comes against it? It has no defense. All it can try to do is fly away. David has no defense against Saul. It'd be like the whole United States government after you. What chance would you have? None, unless God's for you. And if God's for you, guess what chance Saul had? He had no chance at all. The Lord told David through Samuel the prophet that you're going to be the next king. Now Saul's really after him because Saul's heard the prophecy too. Saul wants his own son Jonathan to be the next king. But that's not God's plan. And it all happened because Saul disobeyed the Lord. The word of the Lord gives us a wonderful promise, and if you've never memorized this, this is a verse you must memorize because you're going to be tested in it. I'm not given the test. The Lord's going to give the test. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we know, I got to tell you, most Christians don't know, but you should. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. The problem with most of us is we don't want to know God's purpose. We've got our own purpose. God, I want you to do what I want done. And God says, no, that's not the program we're in anymore. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says you're not your own anymore. You were bought at a price. Therefore, we're to honor God with our body and with our spirit. Because why? Because we belong to him now. He paid the price for our salvation. David's personal despair just keeps growing. It's bad enough to have the king after you, but now everybody in the nation is turning against David. He has a few followers, but it's like a little partridge. There's no defense. But the good news is God is for David. God has called David. Year after year, Saul's chasing him all across the countryside. But every time Saul and his army are coming around this side of the mountain, the Bible tells us David and his little group is on the other side of the mountain. How did David know that? How could David for 9 years avoid detection? Because God was for him. God had a plan for David, and nobody, including the whole government, could stop the plan. When God has a plan for you, I hope you realize nobody can stop that. God's plan for you and I is that we become more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. And when this life is past, we're going to be exactly like Christ forever. And I know some of you that are younger here, that when this life is past, man, that's going to be a long time. Wait and see how fast it goes. Wow! You turn around, I think I mentioned before, when I first hired in the shop, I was 18. And people would go say, go see the kid. I was the kid, and I knew I was the youngest guy there. By the time I retired at 58, the same people said, go see the old man. Guess what? I had become the old man in the shop. It's so important you understand this life is a vapor. It's going to be here. I want to encourage you to enjoy it all you can, but be sure to learn the lessons along the way. God has a plan for your life, just like he had a plan for David's life. And nobody is going to stop God's plan for your life, including you. We think, well, I can just say no. It doesn't work that way. Jeremiah said, I'm not going to preach in your name anymore. Every time I preach in your name, it's always bad news for Israel, and I'm getting persecuted. I'm just not going to do it anymore. And the Bible said, Jeremiah said, but your word was in my heart like a fire, shut up in my bones. I can't stop. I've got to proclaim your word. Folks, if Christ is truly leading you, you can't stop either. In Psalm 13, verse 1, here's the question. How long, Lord, will you forget me? Forever? Had the Lord forgotten David? He's got a plan for David. He's already told David, David, you're going to be the next king of Israel. But when it doesn't happen, and everything in life, you know, they say seeing is believing. If David's going by what he's seeing, he says, it's never going to happen. They're going to kill me. How long will you forget me? God had not forgotten David, and God hasn't forgotten you either. How long will you hide your face from me? God has a plan, and all these things that seem to be going against him, as long as he stays faithful, as long as he trusts in the Lord, God is going to work it for his good. We want it done when? Right now. I don't want to wait 9 years. I want your promise now. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? What's the thought? When things are going wrong, our mind says this is the way it's going to be the rest of my life. No, it's not. We have our good times, we have our bad times, and then we have good times and bad times again. It's over and over in life. But David wants a quick change. God is not quick to change your circumstance. God will change your circumstance over time, but not when we want him to. Because God's got something bigger in mind for you than just your happiness today. We had four children, and we would not allow anybody to hurt them unless it was for their good. It's so important for you to understand that. God never allows anything to touch his children's lives unless he means it for good. When we allowed our children to get their measles shots and all the rest of the shots as children, we knew it was going to hurt. When they would reach out, no, don't let it happen, because they knew what was coming after a while, we allowed it. It wasn't that we didn't love them. It's that we did love them. We didn't want them getting sick. And so we allow pain in our children. And the Lord allows pain. The sad thing for us is my hope for my child was exactly the same as my child. My child didn't want to get sick either. So we were kind of together on that. The problem with us is our desire is often different than our Heavenly Father's desire. What's God's primary goal for you? I hope you can answer that real quick in your mind, because it's laid out very clear in Romans 8:29. We all love Romans 8:28. We know that God works together all things for good to those that love him, to those who are called according to his purpose, but we pay very little attention to verse 29. Verse 29 says that God's main desire for you and I is Christ-likeness. Now, that may not be your number one goal in life. My number one goal when I graduated high school was to find a nice gal that was pretty and get married and live with them happy forever. Was that God's primary goal for my life? It was not. It was an important thing, but it wasn't his primary goal. I wanted to have children. Was that God's primary goal for my life? No. We've got four children, and we're very happy with our four children, but that was not God's primary goal for my life. I never knew till probably when I was 30 that I really understand. Now, I got saved at 25, but then you got that time of growth where you really begin to learn what God's goal is for you. I didn't know God wanted me to be Christ-like. I believed in the Lord, but I had no intentions of becoming like the Lord. But that was God's primary intention. And it took me a while to learn that. But once I learned it, I understood now, why does the Lord allow me to go through these times of trial and trouble and sickness and pain and seeing my parents die, my grandparents die, my two older brothers are gone? Why? Because God's using all of that to make me like my Lord. We looked at Psalm 13, we looked at trouble, but God knows the troubles you and I are going to face. David said, how long will you hide your face from me? The answer is found in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. We think if we're walking with God, his smile should always be on our life. Everything should go the way we want it to go. That's not what God says. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they'll put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. We think if the Lord's smiling at us, God has eye on us, that's what we want. But God wants to teach us a lesson. It's not always his will to smile on our lives and to give us what we want. Sometimes it's God's will to give us what we don't want. Because his will is to make you like Christ. And we mentioned earlier, Jesus Christ learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Often there's no other way for a child to learn than to allow them to suffer. And I don't care how old you are, I'm still a child at heart. And I'm glad I am, because Jesus said, unless you come like a little child, you can't come at all. And so sometimes I do things that are not very logical, not very wise, and they get me into all kinds of trouble. And the Lord allows it to teach me the lessons of life. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, David said, how long before you look at me and you pay attention to me and you resolve these things? Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. If Jesus knows the number of hairs on my head this very second, and he knows the number of hairs on your head this very second, do you suppose he's way out there and doesn't pay any attention to you? He knows every time a hair goes out of my head. I don't know. I don't recognize it. God is so intimate with his children. It's never that he's not there. It's never that he doesn't care. It's that we don't feel it. Because we're not looking for the same thing he's looking for. If we had more of a desire to be like Christ, when the troubles come, we could rejoice in them. In fact, do you know the Bible says, count it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, every time you fall into trials of various kinds. Because you know, that's interesting, you know that all things work together for the good, and you know that the suffering you're going through is going to produce perseverance. But perseverance, the Bible says, must finish its entire work so that you and I can be complete, like our Lord Jesus Christ, lacking nothing. God is going to allow trouble in our lives so that we walk through this life with him, with our eye constantly on him, because he cares for us. He's not way out there. He's right there. He knows how your heart's breaking. He knows what's going on. And he does care. And in his time, he's going to take it away. I don't know if some of those problems won't be taken away until we're in heaven. But they will be taken away. All of our trials are for a period of time. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7, he says, endure hardship as discipline. Anybody like discipline when you were a child? We avoided it with all of our hearts, didn't we? Especially if you knew Dad was coming home and he had the belt and he was ready to use it. Oh, man. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you're not disciplined, then everyone undergoes discipline. Then you're not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we all have had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. That last sentence, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. Folks, you are going to have trouble in this life. Jesus told us that. But you can allow those trials of life to teach you to make you more like the Lord. You can continue to grow. Or you can resist it like a rebellious child and say, I know you don't want me to play in the road, but I'm going to play in the road. Folks, a lot of Christians don't grow because they don't submit. They don't realize my Father loves me and he's allowed this problem in my life for my good. God loves you with all of his heart. He loved you enough to die for you on the cross. He's not going to let anybody hurt you unless he knows it's for your good. And when he knows it's for your good, he's going to allow it until the time you what? Until the time you get the training. And he doesn't have to spank you anymore for going on the road. There are things that you have to learn. And as we grow in our faith, we begin to grow in those things. And then God turns that problem into a blessing. That's what he did for David. David's honest cry. David wasn't crying because he wasn't hurting. He had a promise from God, you're going to be the king. But it's just not happening. David's getting old. And you say old, he was only 26 probably or so when he got the answer. But when you're 17 and you have to wait till 26, do you see what's happening? He's saying, my life's passing me by. Surely I ought to be the king by now. No, David, you need more training. You're not ready yet. When you're ready, you'll step into your position. Eventually, David was hopeful and his attitude began to change. In Psalm 13, verse 3 now, David says, look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I've overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. Let me ask you a question. If God gives you a promise, you're going to be the next president of the United States. Now, he probably won't, but if he did, you're going to be the next president of the United States. Can anybody kill you before you become the next president? Hope you understand that. Nobody can. Nobody. Because what? Because God has given you the word that you're going to be the next president. You are shot-proof, spear-proof, arrow-proof until God fulfills his good plan for your life. I can tell you of Christians all across this nation that are constantly worried and fretting. Oh, life's coming to an end. No, it's not. The Bible says God has a date written down for you and for me when we're going to die. Folks, nobody's going to change that date. It's set. God has set it, not me, God. And until that happens, I'm protected. I'm protected by God. When that time comes, it could come today for me. I don't know. Could be 20 years, but it's going to come. I don't fret and worry about that. I don't know about you, but I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. And I can rejoice that this life, for me, is getting closer to an end. That might sound crazy to some, but I don't think so. I think it's just a matter of growing in your faith and trusting the Lord. So David said, give light to my eyes or I'm going to sleep in death. The Lord has given David a promise. He's not going to die until he's king. God said, David, you're going to take the kingdom. When we trust the promises of God, when we know the promises of God, we realize God's in charge of this. Not some president, not some king, not some ruler. God. And we begin to trust more and more. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 27, it says, Jonathan had not heard that his father had bound the people with an oath. So he reached out the end of the shaft that was in his hand, and he dipped it into the honeycomb, and he raised his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were brightened. The sugar in that honey brought back faith and health and everything to Jonathan. Once you understand the word of God, and it will enlighten your eyes, you can realize, I don't have to worry about anything. I'm not saying that everything's going the way I wish it would, but I'm saying God's working everything for my good. If God's working everything for my good, what do I have to worry about? I don't have to worry about anything. I just need to get in step with God. Trust him through these hard times. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, the Lord says, therefore we do not lose heart. How many Christians do you know that have lost heart? They say it's never going to be right again. There's no hope for anything. Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what's seen, but what's unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Our Lord wants you looking to eternity. The Lord tells us to keep our minds on things above, not on things on this earth. On this earth, we're going to have trouble. But I'm going home pretty quick, and I'm never going to have trouble again. I can rejoice in that. I can wait. I can trust, because I know God's word. And God's word gives me hope. In Psalm 13, verse 5, David's coming back in his relationship, and he's getting that hope. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he's been good to me. What had changed between verses 1 and verse 5 and 6? Nothing physically. Nothing David could see. But David comes back to his trust in the Lord. That's what the Lord's calling us to do. Keep our eyes on the Lord, trust his promises, because he is really going to work everything for our good. The word there in Psalm 13, verse 5 and 6, for love is chesed. It's used in the Old Testament many, many times. It's talking about God's love. It's what we would call in the New Testament agape love, okay? It's the same kind of love, but I just want to hit it real quick. 149 times, that word chesed is translated mercy. 30 times as loving kindness in the Old Testament, and 248 times as love. God's love is unfailing. In spite of what's happening in our lives, if you're God's son or daughter, he loves you as much as he loves Jesus Christ. And he has promised to work everything for your good if you'll simply keep trusting him. Psalm 13, verse 6 again. I will sing to the Lord praise, for he's been good to me. Folks, he took a shepherd boy and he anointed him as king. Is that pretty good? He had to wait. But man, oh man, what a change that's going to be. David did become king. In fact, he was Israel's greatest king. He loved the Lord with all of his heart. He followed the Lord. Now, he did fail, like all of us do, but he really loved the Lord. He did a great job getting that country going. Our Lord wants us to know that David was greatly used by God, not because of David's own abilities, but because God anointed him. Whether you know it or not, God has anointed you. God has called you to serve him, to become like him, and if you'll allow him to, he'll work everything for your good too. Even the hard things of life, you're going to go through. If you're younger here today, folks, you got lots of trouble coming. Lots of blessings too, a lot of good things. But man, there's trouble everywhere. Eventually, young folks, you're going to lose your parents. Probably already have lost some of you, your grandparents, but you're going to lose your parents. You're going to lose brothers and sisters. Some are going to lose children. All that hurts, but it's all for our good. There's two requirements in Romans 8:28. God will work all things for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Folks, in your heart, are you living your life for God's purpose or for your purpose? Jacob said, all these things are against me. But they weren't. Every single one of them, if you study that history, Jacob's son was sold as a slave to Egypt. Jacob thought he was dead. Now he's got a son in jail down in Egypt, and he says, all this is against me. But God meant it for good, and God worked it for good, in spite of Jacob. God will do exactly the same thing for you and I. The trials of life only come to make me strong. Sometimes we think this is against me, but God says absolutely nothing that he allows into our lives is ever against a Christian. It's always for us.